It's the Podcast the News Show, where the editors of podcasttheNews.com share their insights on a wide range of podcasting topics.
This is Jen Thorpe with the Podcaster News Show, episode number 9. And as always, I'll be bringing you news about women in podcasting. Today's episode, though, is going to be a little bit different than what I usually do. Usually, I will have invited another woman who also is a podcaster onto the show so that I can interview her and she can talk about her show, when she got started, her experience in podcasting, and also share her wisdom that she wants to share with other women who might be considering getting into podcasting for the very first time or starting one on their own. This time, it dawned on me that, well, I'm a woman and I podcast, so it seemed only fair to actually answer the questions that I've been giving to other women all of this time myself. There's two ways to go about doing this. One, I've heard people do self-interviews where they alter their voice either mechanically or through talent of voice acting to ask themselves questions and then answer those questions. But I thought that would get a little weird. So instead, I've decided to enlist the help of Sean Thorpe, who is also a contributor to the Podcaster News Show, and who is also my husband. So he's going to be here today interviewing me, much the way that I used to interview women that I would bring to the show. And then I'll go back to my usual format after this. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Jen.
Thanks for helping me out today.
Sure, no problem. It's my pleasure.
All right, well, let's get started.
Okay, so Jen Thorpe, when did you start podcasting?
I started podcasting in 2005, actually with you, and you were the primary reason why I started. We had a little show called The Phantom Feed, was it? Yeah, The Phantom Feed, mm-hmm. And it was just a short little show. It didn't have a lot of episodes. It was way back in the early days of podcasting, and Sean started it on his own and then asked me if I would like to come in and be part of the show. And I had no idea what a podcast was. He actually had to tell me it's like a radio show on the internet, you know, like you do. And I was only in a couple of episodes, and I remember staring at the microphone and having no idea what to say and just being terrified to talk, which has changed over time, as you can tell. So that was 2005. And then in 2006, he and I started a podcast we do together called Hyper Nonsense. And it's had various iterations since 2006. It's back up now under the name Hyper Nonsense once again. And that's mostly a show where we talk about our lives and sometimes comment on news things and sometimes interview people, that kind of thing.
Right.
Somewhere in the middle in 2007, I got this idea that I should perhaps start a podcast on my own and learn more. Because up until 2007, the only thing I did with podcasting was show up and talk. I didn't really contribute to show notes. I didn't write show notes. I didn't do any of the tech behind it. And I wanted to learn how. So in 2007, I learned about Napod Pomo, which I've interviewed someone in an email, Jennifer Navarrete, in an email interview, one of the early things I've contributed to Podcaster News with. She's the woman that started Napod Pomo. And what it is, it's National Podcaster Post Month. And the goal is to post one podcast every day during the month of November. So I thought, well, this would be a great challenge to try to learn some of the tech. And I started out, again, terrified of the microphone. I remember using Sean's cell phone to try to record, and it didn't work too well. And I thought, I'm never going to make it through this month. But over the course of the month, I learned how to figure out how to do a show on your own, which is very different from doing a show with a group of people or with one other person. And I learned how to find pod-safe music that's legal to use in your show and just, you know, all of this kind of basic stuff. And I also learned like a tiny little bit about editing, which was new to me, you know, and I kind of felt like, well, hey, I'm a real podcaster now. I'm doing some of these things. And so Inside My Head lasted until about 2012. And then I guess life just got in the way and I haven't gotten back to it. I'm hoping to put the old episodes back up sometime in 2015.
I do want to just make one observation here regarding your experience in 2007 with Napod Pomo. From my viewpoint, I guess, in sort of watching you start out in having really no technical background, but during that 30-day process, you really went from having, you know, that one type of experience to, by the end of it, you were doing everything by yourself. You know, you were producing the audio, you were editing it, you were exporting it, you were publishing it to the web. I think part of the reason I want to mention that is just to say, if anyone is really daunted by all of this stuff that it requires to start a podcast, you can really start from having, you know, the most simplest understanding of the, you know, the process to, if you just do it every day for 30 days, by the time you're done, you'll have all the skills that you need.
You will. You'll have like at least a basic amount. And I did learn that from it. And I did do, I continued inside my head, like I said, until 2012. And I participated in NotPod Pomo for, I don't know, maybe five months of NotPod Pomo. And each time I tried to challenge myself to learn something new. Like one year I was focusing on trying to do video, like little short video podcasts. And another year, I actually decided to start interviewing people, which at the time terrified me. I had no idea how I was going to get that to work out. As you can see, I've grown into it over the years. But that month of just trying to coordinate interviewing people every day for a month, and, you know, editing it and getting all the tech right and troubleshooting other people's, you know, setups so that we could record properly. That was a huge challenge for me. And I'm really glad I did that because I learned so much. But, you know, even if you're not doing, I don't know if NotPod Pomo still continues, but you can do your own. You can give yourself a challenge of 30 days, do something, just record something, start somewhere. And that really will help you out. In addition to that, somewhere in, I'm losing track of the time exactly, but I've been involved in a podcast called Halfway Around the World, which is on the Dawn Forge Network. And we just recorded our last episode ever. We are closing out the show, but it was a show I did with Nathan Lott, and it was a music show. And he and I would comment on the music and talk about music news and things of that nature. And we'd also talk about books because it was sponsored by Audible. So we'd talk about books. We actually wanted to talk about the books we were reading and things like that. And most people, I don't think, do that as much as we did. And it was fun, but we're ending that show mostly due to time constraints and because my health is not really great and I have very low energy and I have to really kind of reserve it now. So I'm not sick. I just have chronic allergies. It's not anything too serious, but it was time to end the show. So the last episode's going to go up probably within a week of when this podcast that you're listening to now airs. And the other show that I'm involved in is called Shattered Soulstone, also on the Dawn Forge Network. And I do that one with Nevik and Brazia and Lantonio. And it is a show about the video game called Diablo 3 and the lore behind it and all of that good stuff. And we put in a lot of effort to bring the community in. And we'll read emails and comment on tweets that people send us and bring everybody in as much as possible. It's just fun. It's really fun. And it's the only gaming podcast I've really gotten into and involved with on a regular basis kind of thing. I did do years ago, I used to do a short little segment type thing for the All Things Azeroth podcast that was about the World of Warcraft video game. But it only lasted a little while. It was fun while it lasted. It's the only other gaming thing I've done. So I guess I've grown into an actual full podcast about a video game since then.
Just to clarify, I will say that your segment is not going anymore, but the All Things Azeroth show is indeed still going.
I might not have made that very clear. Yeah. My segment is done. I did it for a while. There's other segments that continue on in All Things Azeroth. But yes, All Things Azeroth is going strong, and if you play World of Warcraft, it's definitely something to check out.
Okay, so you've kind of already answered the follow-up question here about what your experience in podcasting been since you started. So what inspired you to become a podcaster, Jen?
I think a variety of things. You know, like I said, when I started, it was kind of like, hey, come talk into the microphone. Why? You know, it was that kind of thing. And I think my inspiration in doing that was just, well, it was something you like to do. And I thought maybe I'll like it too. I'll try. But I wasn't specifically intrinsically motivated as much until I started doing my own show, when I started doing Inside My Head. And I think the goal was just to kind of learn about it. That was really my primary interest. I wanted to learn how to do a show. I wanted to learn how to do the tech stuff that I hadn't done before. I wanted to learn what it's like to come up with content and find, you know, music that's legal to use. And, you know, later on, I wanted to learn how to do interviews. And it was kind of like my little sandbox to try things in. And I think that was what motivated me originally beyond, you know, just talking into the mic.
I do want to relate this story because I think it's kind of funny. And that is when we started podcasting together in 2005, and you were really kind of unsure about it and apprehensive, and, you know, we did that show together for a few months, and then we decided we were going to move cross-country, so that kind of put an end to that. But once we did move and we kind of got settled in our new location, it wasn't long before you were coming to me and going, well, when are we going to start podcasting again?
Yeah, so. I know. I mean, I wanted to do it. I knew it was fun. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really, like I said, I didn't really think of myself as a podcaster until I started really digging in and doing all the stuff I hadn't done. For me, that's how I felt. Like, you can totally be a podcaster and just show up on a show and talk and express your views and, you know, things like that. But for me, that's what I needed. And that motivated me to keep going.
Okay. And what advice do you have for women who are thinking of starting their own podcast?
I've got a few things, actually. One of them, since I mentioned Shattered Soulstone, which is about a video game, Diablo 3, I think if you're interested, if you're a woman that's interested in doing a podcast about gaming, jump in there and do it. There's a lot of women that do podcast about video games, but we always need more. I think it's vitally important for women to have their voices heard in regards to video games. And so if you're someone who plays, you can totally do a podcast about it. You can jump into a podcast about it, you know, and do like a one-off on someone else's show and get started. I think that's very important. So if you're doing that, my advice is if you play video games and you have a passion about a certain one, jump in, start your own show, have your voice be out there and be heard. And I think you'll, you know, gain things from it that you don't realize. Like when I started Shattered Soulstone, you know, it was talked about, okay, we were going to put together a show about Diablo 3. And it was before the game had come out, shortly before the game had come out. And I remember thinking, you know, how is this going to work? It sounds like fun. I don't know what I'm going to be able to say about it. And all this time later, it's like, I have so much to say. Like, it advances your knowledge in the game and your ability to talk about it. And I think I also feel more confident talking about video games in general and writing about video games in general because I started working on a podcast about video games. So that's my first piece of advice. My second piece of advice, I've kind of touched on already. Learn how to edit. Seriously, learn how to edit. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to become the sole editor of every show you do from that point in time onward. And it doesn't mean, you know, fire your editor and take over. you know, what I really want women to do is to do like I did, jump in there and just learn how to do a basic editing. You know, start a little mini podcast of your own where it's just you if you need. And, you know, edit your show, figure out how to pull in different elements like, you know, intro music and pod safe music and interviews and such, you know, things like that, and put it all together. And, you know, the goal, as I said, is not to become like, you know, super editor woman and take over everything. Unless you love it. If you find that you love it, then rock on and do it, because there's always people out there that hate editing. And so if you can edit and you're good at it and you enjoy it, that's going to open up a world to you where you might have some opportunities to edit other people's podcasts, possibly for pay, maybe not, depends on the situation. But that's one good reason to learn how to edit. But the more important reason is because when you sit down and learn how to go through those, you know, the sound waves and piece it all together, it gives you a huge insight into what your editor is putting up with for your show. For example, it is not unheard of for people to do a show and then later go, oh, wait, we're at the end and we wanted to put in this thing. Or, oh, we forgot to talk about the sponsor of the show. Let's do a little thing and put that in. Or, okay, we've got to the end of the show. What do we want to call it? Okay, we'll do a little bit at the end here to go as the intro. So now things are out of order. And I think if you don't edit, you've never edited, you have no idea how this works, you think, oh, well, the editor can just put it all together. But when you go and sit down and try to do that, you start to realize that it's not as easy as you might think. It's not a matter of, like, you know, moving a sticker from here to there, or, you know, moving something across the screen on your desktop or something like that. It's got a lot more to it. So I think just the process of actually getting in there and editing teaches you things like, okay, there's a reason why we need to keep things somewhat in order. Or it makes you understand if something doesn't work, if you're recording a show with someone else and it's through Skype and Skype kills the call in the middle, you kind of understand, okay, we're going to make a very clear point where we're starting up from so the editor knows exactly where to pick up. You know, it helps you to understand how often you're saying and things like that, whatever your little word is that you use, and whether or not it sounds natural when you hear it back. You know, you can hear it back if you listen to your show again, but when you're editing, you're like, okay, I've said 15 times in the last minute. Maybe I need to slow down on that word and be more conscious about how I present what I'm saying. Or you learn to edit them out. Either way, you know, it kind of works. But it's incredibly helpful just to have that skill. Even if you learn how to do it by yourself on a podcast that only you do, that you maybe don't even have much intention of publishing and putting online, just so that you can kind of get in there and get that experience. It just opens up a world for you. So I think that's very important.
I appreciate your insight and your sharing that with others, because as an editor, it's always definitely appreciated when people on the other side of the microphone, you know, have that consciousness to not just look at it from the perspective of, well, we can just throw everything together and the editor will fix it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to know that, you know, and I think, you know, looking back all those years where all I did was show up and talk, and I didn't do any editing, and I didn't, you know, really bring in a whole lot of stuff other than showing up and sharing my views on things, sometimes in the form of rants and, you know, very emphatically. I don't think that I realized just what it was like to try to make everything sound good by the time you're done. And I don't know that I would have gotten that perspective had I not tried to learn how to edit on my own. So I think it's very important, you know, do one with just you, start simple. And if you feel good about, you know, your ability to edit, then, you know, get on Skype with a friend who's willing to have you record your conversation and try to sort that out. Or, you know, have them record their side of the conversation and you record yours, so you have what's called a double ender, and try to put those two pieces of the conversation together and just build up from there. I think it's very important. You know, I don't think you're not a podcaster unless you edit. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Right.
But it does give you a huge insight into just how podcasts work and how they're put together and what's the differences between the, you know, a podcast that has a good editor that makes you sound wonderful and a podcast that is a one-off and not edited at all. You know, like why that's so different. You know, you kind of get that. And again, your editor will like you more if you're able to understand what he or she is going through to put your show together. So that's my advice.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for all of your input and wisdom for this episode of Podcaster News Show. And since it's technically your episode, I'll let you do all the usual outro stuff.
Okay. So let's see if I can remember the usual outro stuff now that my brain is in the mode of, you know, being interviewed. Let's see. This was episode number 9 of the Podcaster News Show. You can find it at podcasternews.com, and it'll be up there for you to check out. And what's the rest?
You can follow Podcaster News at Podcasting News on Twitter. And you can follow Jen on Twitter at Queen of Haiku.
Yes.
And if you would like, you can follow me at Shawno, S-H-A-W-N-O, and Jen will be back with another podcast next month.
I will, and Sean will be back with another podcast next month about something completely different from what I do.
And I've still got one to do for this month as well.
So he might be here for this one. You might be hearing a lot more of Sean this month than you anticipated, so enjoy.
Okay, everyone, thanks for listening, and thanks, Jen, again, for the interview.
And, yeah, thanks for helping me out, because it would have been really weird to have, like, you know, Siri try to interview me or something. I didn't want to do that.